Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, hour number three, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, Labor Day edition. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you to go download the podcast. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck's name, Buck Sexton. He'll be back tomorrow, by the way, and you can make sure you don't miss anything. We had in the second hour of the program, voice of college football in many ways, Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN, about his new book. And we bring in now Alex Berenson, who I think has been one of the biggest truth tellers, as you guys well know who listen to this program. Been talking to him for a year and a half now. He's been telling us everything COVID related. He's now banned from Twitter. And one reason that I am so excited to have this outlet, to have this program, to be able to talk with you guys every single weekday is because I don't know how long Twitter is going to allow me to still be there or anybody else that has opinions that go against the prevailing narrative. And I want to start here, Alex. First of all, thanks for spending your part of your Labor Day with me. But did you see the Rolling Stone story and the way it spread about ivermectin, which is 100% false? There's no truth to it at all. Twitter has aggressively policed your sharing of factual data. That story's 100% false, and they've done nothing to try and bring that story down.
Yes. If you say negative things about COVID or about people dying, you can basically make things up on Twitter, and they will not police you. This was very clear last year, and now we're talking about ivermectin. And to be clear, I think there are a lot of questions about ivermectin, and I don't think people should be using it randomly or buying it from feed stores and using it. It's a promising drug, but that's all it is, and lots of promising treatments don't work out in the long run, and that's why we have clinical trials. But to go to your point, Twitter will let you, and I'm just going to say lie about...
It's 100% a lie. What the story that Rolling Stone ran is a lie.
Just like last year, there were story after story about young doctors, this was back in March and April and May of last year, dying of COVID. Right, there were residents dropping dead of COVID. Somebody, a doctor in I believe it was Texas, claimed that three doctors that she knew, she sort of phrased it artfully, but if you read it quickly, it sounded like she knew three doctors who died of COVID. And it turned out it was completely untrue. And it was retweeted, I believe, hundreds of thousands, certainly tens of thousands of times. Twitter takes no action to police any of this stuff. But I'm banned. And so, you know, when we talked, which I believe we last talked Friday a week ago, 10 days ago, this was.
That's
and,
right.
And I told you that I thought they might ban me. I said, you know, have people really need to sign up for the Substack. They really need to get on there because this could happen. It was Saturday night that they banned me. And they banned me because I said the vaccine doesn't stop infection, which is true, that it doesn't stop transmission, which is true. The CDC acknowledges these things now. That, I mean, it may do that in the short term, but it certainly doesn't do it for more than a few months. And it certainly, you know, which is why they're talking about boosters. And I said, don't think of it as a vaccine. You know, it's not a vaccine in the traditional sense. It's basically a therapeutic, meaning they're giving it to you hoping that it will reduce your symptoms. Okay, that's much more like a traditional drug than a vaccine, except it has real side effects. So that got me banned. So, you know, I'm not on Twitter right now, which is at the moment, you know, it's problematic. It's going to become more problematic for me over time because, you know, I still can get, you know, you'll have me on, Tucker will have me on. But over time, you know, Twitter was my most important outlet, and being banned from it is harmful to me. So I'm vigorously considering my legal remedies, and I think what I may wind up doing may wind up surprising Twitter, and that's all I'm going to say right now. I will move when the time is right, and I think I have some very good claims, and we will see, you know, what a court of law has to say. But for the moment, I can't talk about, you know, that Bangladesh study that came out last week about masks and the problems with it on Twitter. I can't talk about, you know, the fact that the Israeli data is still terrible on Twitter, and so it is a problem for me.
Okay, positive is you're talking to millions of people all over the country right now through us, and I also have told you, and I'll say it publicly, at Outkick, the site that I run, we will also be happy to run your articles if Substack becomes an issue for you. As I know, what happens is none of these people who try to get people canceled are ever happy when they get them canceled from one place. They got to try to get them canceled everywhere. And to me, OutKick has always represented the farthest reaches of the First Amendment. And I think what you're saying is important in the marketplace of ideas in a massive way. And also, by the way, it's the very foundation of science is to debate issues in a public sphere in an effort to try to find out what the truth is. So let's go into that Israeli data. What is the latest that Israel? I saw where they're now going to require, to your point on the difference between a vaccine and a booster, a therapeutic booster. They're now saying in Israel, correct me if I'm wrong, that they're going to require a fourth different shot. We initially were told you get to double COVID vaccine shots. Then they said they were going to give a third booster in Israel. Now they're talking about a fourth booster.
So they haven't said that they're going to require that. They are the health minister said he thought that was likely. It is clear that you will need a third booster in Israel to be considered fully vaccinated. That's not even an argument anymore. They are requiring a third, or I should say a second booster, a third shot to be considered fully vaccinated. So here's the thing. They started giving out these third shots, these boosters, more than a month ago now. This is not new at this point. This is we're going on 5 weeks. And Israel is having its worst days ever for infection, okay, for new cases. So again, the idea that
let me unpack that a little bit with you, if I could. So Israel is one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. They now are requiring a third shot of the COVID booster, and the data in Israel right now, in terms of both cases and hospitalizations, is worse than it ever has been before.
So the data for cases is worse. In other words, they're having more positive tests than they've ever had before.
Yes.
Hospitalizations appear to have peaked, at least now, about a week or 10 days ago. Deaths are still rising, but hospitalizations have peaked. But they have peaked at a very high level, and both vaccinated and unvaccinated people are in the hospital. So here's the thing. The booster should be working right now. If it's ever going to work, it's going to work in the few weeks after you get it, because what it does is it causes your body to produce a lot more spike proteins, and that in turn should generate a strong immune response where you get more antibodies to the spike proteins. Okay, so if you're going to be protected by this booster, it should be in the weeks after you are hit with it. And what we are seeing is nothing like full protection. And one of the things that happened that made people so optimistic about vaccines in the spring was cases went effectively to Israel to zero in both Israel and the UK. And they went down quite a bit in the US too. And so people said, hey, these vaccines really work. This mechanism is really great and it works. Unfortunately, it didn't work long term. But what I'm saying is, It is a very bad sign for the long-term or even medium-term efficacy of these vaccines that we're not seeing cases plunge in Israel at this point, and we are not.
Okay. Were you at all optimistic? I started off today's program, Alex, saying that the huge crowds of college football fans made me believe that a lot of Americans, and I think you're seeing this in England and many other countries as well, that a lot of people around the world are finally just throwing up their hands and saying, we're ready to get back to normal. I don't know if you watched the clips, whether it was in Wisconsin, Virginia, Texas, all over the country, the width and breadth of this country, sold out crowds for college football games, nobody in the crowds wearing a mask. Did that make you believe, hey, maybe the great mass of normal Americans are finally saying, we can't stay curled up in the fetal position forever?
I mean, I hope so. That's not quite what the polling data shows. The polling data shows that there's still a lot of Americans who are afraid, but there's a much bigger problem, Clay, right? Which is, even if half of the country believes like you and I do, it's time to get on with life, right? There are going to be people dying from this. We're going to do our best to treat them. We're going to give them monoclonal antibodies. Maybe older people should get these boosters, although, I would say, and say the data is iffy on that at this point, but we're going to get on with life. We have to get on with life. The people running the country are in exactly the opposite position. They are desperate to prove that what they've done the last 18 months, what they've put us through the last 18 months is right. And they're now basically lying, okay? Unless the data in the U.S. is completely different than the data in Israel and the U.K. and other places that, you know, are sort of more transparent about who's in the hospital, they are just lying, because we know in Israel and the U.K. that the most people who are in the hospital, even with the boosters, have been vaccinated. And we know from the U.K. that the great majority of people who are dying from Delta are vaccinated. So, you know, it's very hard to get from that to 90% of people in the U.S. who are in hospitals are not vaccinated. That is just probably a lie. And I hate to say the CDC is lying. So we're at a really weird place right now, because most people, or at least a huge minority of people, maybe it's 40%, maybe it's 48%, maybe it's 55%, want to get on with life. They want to be done with this, period. But the people in charge, certainly outside of a few states, like you're fortunate to, you know, you live in Tennessee or Florida or Texas, people in my state, you know, I can't go to a restaurant in New York City right now. I'm not vaccinated. Like, the rules are getting worse in the blue states.
So I want to bring you back for one more segment here, if I can, Alex, because it is frustrating, I know, for so many people. And I just ran through the list of all the cities that are seeing their overall populations explode. And it's not going to surprise you. There's a lot of Texas, there's a lot of Florida, and there's a lot of Tennessee, because people in blue states who are losing their minds are saying, I want to live in a free state. And that's kind of what we're talking about right now. I want to ask you about why England is making such different decisions with their school children, both as it pertains to masks and vaccines, compared to where we seem to be headed in the United States. We'll ask that question of Alex Berenson next. He's banned on Twitter, but he's not banned on Clay and Buck. And we'll get the absolute latest data from him to finish off that segment. That is next. This is the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, special Labor Day edition.
The largest free education institution ever. There are no graduates. There are no degrees, because the learning never stops.
The Wisdom of Rush. Now with Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, special Labor Day edition. We're talking to the most terrifying man on Twitter, according to Twitter.com, maybe other than Donald Trump, Alex Berenson. You got to write a book, by the way. You are? Good.
Yeah. It'll be out. It'll be out in at the end of November. It's called Pandemia.
Oh, I love that. That's a good title. All right. I teased as we went to break, Alex, that I was going to ask you why we're seeing such a divergence in response in England and the United States. And for people out there who aren't aware, I want you to set the context for us. But remember, England initially was what I would say kind of a fear porn capital country, because of all of the different forecasts that came out of England about how many people were going to die, how devastating this was going to be. They locked down harder than most countries did, at least initially. Even with Boris Johnson there, what's going on? They're not making kids wear masks anywhere in English schools, and they're also suggesting that kids don't need to be vaccinated for COVID. Why the divergence between England and the United States?
That is a great question. You know, because the English hate their kids, obviously, so they want them all to die.
Want all the grandmas to die, too.
Exactly. No, so...
By the way, your kids were running around in the background. You have young kids. I have young kids. Maybe the most ridiculous argument that's out there in general is that people like you and me don't care about kids or grandmas or anything else. I mean, you have young kids like I do, and like any parent out there, you care about your kids, I imagine, more than anything that's going on in your life, but also you care about facts and data and rational discussion, as opposed to just allowing irrational emotion to guide everything.
That's absolutely right. And by the way, listen, like everybody else in the world, my kids are going to get COVID, and I'd rather have them get it right now. They are young. They're all under 10. They're healthy. They're rarely sick. They have good immune systems. Let them get COVID and be done with it, and then they may have immunity for the rest of their lives. I mean, we can't say that, but that would be a much better thing than for them to be on some schedule of vaccines for this. I mean, again, my kids are vaccinated with normal vaccines against everything else, but But for them to get stuck on a schedule of these boosters, I couldn't live with myself if I allowed that to happen. So yeah, I have kids. I care about, as you said, about them more than anything else. And to me, there's no argument. Let them get COVID and recover and be done. So okay, England, you set it up exactly right. There was a very brief moment in March 2020 when England was actually talking about the Swedish strategy, the herd immunity strategy.
Yes.
And good old Neil Ferguson scared the daylights out of them, and they went into a very hard lockdown. And then Boris Johnson, who's the prime minister, got sick, and he actually is the world leader who got the sickest with COVID, much sicker than Trump. He was almost, not almost, but there was a chance he was going to be put on a ventilator, and I think that scared him personally. And so England had a very hard lockdown last year. They tried to lighten it up in the fall, and then cases went up, and they went into another super hard lockdown, and it actually didn't work that well because super hard lockdowns take a long time to work when they work at all. And then they vaccinated very early. They were the first country in the world to approve the mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Certainly the Pfizer vaccine, they were the very first. And guess what? They had a ton of deaths this winter, even as the vaccination campaign was beginning. And they suddenly, this spring, again, the spring was pretty good for them, but come July, they had a ton of cases and deaths went up. And there's more people on ventilators there than there have been since the late winter. And they basically have given up. They ended all restrictions in July, and there were people out there predicting, oh, cases are going to reach some incredible heights after this. And guess what? Cases went down after they ended all restrictions. They're not making kids get vaccinated. They're not talking about a booster shot for healthy adults at this point. They are looking at the same data as the United States is, and they're saying enough is enough is enough. Let's get back to normal.
Alex Berenson, fantastic. We will continue to have you on, get your voice out there. Encourage you to subscribe to his Substack and search him out on Twitter at Alex Berenson. Used to be, search him out on Google, Alex Berenson. You can find that Substack. Alex, thank you. When we come back, I want to talk some about unemployment benefits ending and why Joe Biden is so wildly unpopular. That is the next topic. This is the Labor Day edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Again, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you to go check out the podcast. Let's be honest. Think about how crazy it is that Twitter has banned Alex Berenson from actually sharing facts related to COVID. And they have allowed the Rachel Maddows of the world to spread a demonstrably false story about ivermectin overloading Oklahoma hospitals with no restrictions at all. And that's why I'm so proud of this audience that we have here. You guys are willing to listen to ideas and understand that data can lead us in different places. And I thought Alex did a good job talking about how, looking at the data, England has now made the exact opposite decisions as it pertains to vaccinating children and also to requiring masks in schools. Because what our social media companies are requiring is uniformity of belief, which is the exact opposite of what science stands for. And honestly, if you remember and are in any way a student of history, we can go all the way back to when it was considered unacceptable to say that the sun was the center of the universe. Remember, it used to be the case, I'm taking you all the way back in science, when, because of religion, you were not allowed to say, hey, the sun is the center of the universe and all the planets orbit the sun. The heliocentric theory, I believe, to go back to like fifth or sixth grade, was such an assault upon the idea of the geocentric theory, which at the time was what people insisted on believing, that the entire solar system revolved around the Earth. And Copernicus and others, by looking at all the data and the evidence, went against the prevailing view of the world and used science to argue for facts. That is what science represents. the rigorous attack upon conventional wisdom until we are certain that that is a scientific fact. And think about all the things that have been disallowed as it pertains to COVID. You remember when everybody was getting shut down because they said, hey, I think there's probably a good chance that COVID came out of a Chinese lab due to gain of function research, and you weren't allowed to say that on Facebook, and you weren't allowed to say that on Twitter, and you weren't allowed to say that on Instagram. That was considered an unacceptable heresy. And now that's where we are all over again, where you got nincompoops at these social media companies that are allowing direct falsehoods as it pertains to ivermectin and the story out of Oklahoma from Rolling Stone to be spread widely by Rachel Maddow because it confirms the narrative. Oh, look at all the stupid red state people who don't have any ability to listen to the science, even though it's 100% made up story. And Alex Berenson can't come on and say, hey, you know what? The vaccines have a limited effectiveness and are going to require boosters, which is now true. Twitter labeled that a falsehood. And I think this is all massively important because we can't reach good choices as a society unless we're allowed to rigorously debate issues. That's why I always say I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I'm perfectly fine with people who think that I'm an idiot and an imbecile. I will argue with them all day long. And by the way, my wife sometimes will say, you know what? You're an idiot and you're an imbecile on this issue. But if you don't have an actual constructive debate, if you cancel someone out who is sharing facts, then how in the world can we get to a better, more honest place? That's why I start off the show by saying I was so encouraged by these crowds in college football. I'm an optimist, guys. I really do believe that the more people who step out and speak out, the better the results become in this country. And that's why I went and spoke out against masks in my kids' schools. Because I'm a parent, and I look at the data, and I think that facts matter. And that's why also I believe we can't just go and start changing the rules all the time. We need consistent content-neutral precedents, and big tech companies aren't doing that. And I see it with the company that I run, and OutKick. Encourage you to go check out OutKick.com. We try to be as honest with you every single day as we can. And that's one reason why I couldn't say no to the opportunity to come to this show. Because I really do believe as big tech continues to curtail what we are allowed to discuss, there are going to be fewer and fewer opportunities to talk directly with the public and share facts that matter in a real way, not an arbitrary and capricious way where narrative dominates and the facts don't matter at all. That's why we're going to keep having Alex Berenson on and discussing real, legitimate news stories out there. One news story hasn't gotten a lot of attention. Haven't spent a lot of time on it today. I'm sure we'll be talking about it this week, is that unemployment benefits are finally going to end. Do you know that there's more than 10 million jobs open right now? This is the most jobs we have ever had open in the history of the country. A lot of you out there listening to us, you got small businesses, you can't find people to hire. There are banners everywhere. When I drive all over the city of Nashville where I live, places begging for employees. There are places that can't even open because they don't have enough employees right now. What is the impact of all of these employment benefits ending going to be, not only on employment in this country, but also on the murder rate, which continues to skyrocket? There was an interesting discussion about that on Fox News over the weekend. Listen to this.
You know, I wish I could say it does change the dynamics, but it does not. You've got these thugs that are in these neighborhoods that are going to kill and continue to kill as long as these officials don't take them on. And the way you take them on is that you hire more police officers. You stop this crap about defunding police departments and you give police departments more money. In New York alone, you've got the lieutenant governor there, Brian Benjamin, who's talking about defunding the police while people are dying. That is just damn sight ridiculous.
That's Ted Williams. He's a former D.C. homicide detective speaking truth out there. I do hope that as more people get employed, it just keeps more people busy, which then hopefully keeps people out of trouble. You know, I covered sports for a long time. And I remember talking to coaches, and I would say, man, why do you have early morning practices? Remember one of the guys who did this, legendary Temple basketball coach John Chaney, he would have his guys in at 5 a.m. to do basketball practice that early. And it, I remember him saying, hey, when the guys have to get up that early, keeps them out of trouble. It's true. When you're super tired, you're not going to be out late at night. I'd love it for my own boys as they get older. I got three of them, 13, 10, and 6. They go off to college, and they had to get up at 6 a.m. to do to go to work, sports or otherwise. Man, you're not going to be out as late as you otherwise would be. I'll tell you, in my own life, I did early morning radio for a long time, and that alarm goes off at 4:15. You don't want to be out that late. And I do think that having a job, having a purpose, having somewhere to go is a big part of getting everything back to normalcy. But the Democrats right now, they don't want normalcy because the way they get power is in abnormal times when they could use the excuses of COVID to justify absolutely tyrannical moves. And that's what Senator Amy Klobuchar is talking about as it pertains to the Supreme Court. I'm going to play you what she said about expanding the Supreme Court when we come back to close out the Labor Day edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I appreciate all of you who've been hanging out with us. I know a lot of you are also working on Labor Day. It's not a holiday for lots of people all over the country. I wanted to make sure we were here with you with a brand new program. Buck will be back with me tomorrow. But up next, are the Democrats going to use COVID abnormalities to try to argue in favor of expanding the Supreme Court? You want to talk about a battle. Listen to what Senator Amy Klobuchar had to say. We'll play it for you next. Thanks for hanging with us on a great Labor Day in September.
How's our driving? Call and let us know at 1-800-282-2882. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
And where does Biden go from here? Significantly. 43% approval rate, according to NPR. New York Times has an article asking, why is Joe Biden's approval rate so low, by one of their liberal columnists. The New York Times and NPR have turned on Joe Biden and are acknowledging his extreme unpopularity. You know there's a big issue here. We've got the failure at the border, the disaster in Afghanistan, where the Taliban are currently holding people effectively hostage, not allowing them to leave the country. Now the United States is out of Afghanistan. You've got the murder rate skyrocketing. You just heard us talking about that. You have got the failure on inflation, the budget falling apart. COVID cases right now at Labor Day this year, higher than they were last year, Labor Day. What does Joe Biden focus on? I think he's going to focus on abortion. Texas, new law that has gone into effect. Mississippi, a case pending in front of the Supreme Court. And already you can hear the talking points shifting. They want to disguise you from all of the disasters and go to one of the tried and true divisive elements in Democratic politics to drag everything back to the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. And if that decision is under any sort of siege at all, not only are Democrats going to go to war, they are going to potentially change the underlying rules while their limited power grab exist. Listen to Senator Amy Klobuchar when she is asked, in the wake of what's going on in Texas and what the Supreme Court is doing, whether she would support expanding the Supreme Court from 9 justices to more.
Well, I still am, and you can see why. I don't think this court is going to change any time in the near future. But again, practically, as I look at it, I think, what is the best way to get to a result that's the right policy, that's consistent with where the American people are, that will not wreak havoc in this country? And to me, the best thing is to get rid of the filibuster. But that is an option, and President Biden has a commission in place right now that is considering it.
So That's a radical idea. And look, the reality is, if you ever expand the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court's never going to stop being expanded. That's why we can't, that's why we should not do it. That's why rational, reasonable people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, look at this and say, okay, if the Democrats decide to pack the court, which, remember, is what FDR, I believe, if I'm correct, thought about doing back in the 1930s when the Supreme Court was not supportive enough of his New Deal agenda. What you'll see is whatever number the Democrats expand for, let's say it's three, let's say it's six, the next time Republicans have the Senate and have the presidency, they will expand anew and add three or six more to balance out the existing dynamics. And this is where you need to sit back and be reasonable and be rational and recognize that whatever you do, if you do away with the filibuster, for instance, you're going to create a massive swing from one year to the next. And I want to give credit so far to Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema, who have said, hey, we don't support changing filibuster from 60 and bring it all the way back down to a simple majority. But what the Democrats are trying to do is they are trying to make radical choices. I mean, fundamentally radical choices that alter the very fabric of our society in the limited amount of space where they have a tiny sliver of power. Think about it. They want to give two senators to Washington, D.C. They're talking about Puerto Rico statehood. They're talking about adding Supreme Court justices, which is a radical decision overwhelmingly rejected by the American public. Already they're trying, although I think they're going to fail, to push through a $3.5 trillion budget bill through reconciliation in a tied Senate because they recognize that they're going to lose the House likely in 2022, maybe by an overwhelming margin. And they also recognize that there are many Senate seats. I think Herschel Walker is going to win in Georgia against Raphael Warnock. I think if they can get Sununu to run in New Hampshire, I think he's going to take a seat there. There are a lot of different moving parts. Even though the battleground isn't great for Republicans in the Senate, I think there's a good chance that we're going to see a Republican tide in 2022. And I think it's going to sweep Joe Biden's power out the window. And that's why Democrats are so desperate right now as we enter fall to change the storyline to abortion and try to hammer through their budget while they can, because by the time we get to 2022, their power is gone and we're getting ready for 2024. I appreciate all of you. Download the podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. Buck Sexton will be back with me tomorrow. Just wanted to make sure we had a fresh show for you on Labor Day. This is the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Great fun hanging with you guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Thank you for all of the support you are showing us. Download the podcast. Don't miss us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.